We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Jared Greenberger, you know him from NBA on TNT and, of course, NBA TV, and he joins us here on 92.3 The Fan. Jared, thanks for giving us a few minutes. How you doing today?
Fellas, how is life in Cleveland, Ohio?
Life is good right now. I mean, we got 70 degrees and sunny today. Okay. We got a basketball team that's going to the playoffs, and we were obviously
good baseball team right now.
Yeah, I mean, they laid down yesterday to make the playoffs, but yeah, I mean, things are good. The baseball team won today.
Yeah, Jared, people are mad about yesterday.
Well, I mean, I was on the air. I hosted our whip around show yesterday when we were going live to all 15 games, and you know, I kept on, you know, going live to the Cleveland game. And I'm like, oh, they're up, but it's interesting that they didn't play Garland and Mitchell with what was at stake, and then I saw, oh wow, Milwaukee's going to lose. Cleveland's not playing their guys. And then for a while, the Knicks were losing to the Bulls, mm-hmm. right? So there was about a 30-minute period, I think it was, of real time where if the Cavs could have just held on against the lowly Hornets, and I'm saying to myself, if one of Mitchell or Garland's playing, or both, God forbid, they get the 2 seed. But then again, you know, I got to say, like, are the Knicks kicking themselves today? Because do you really want to face the winner of Miami and Philly? I mean, so to me, I think things happen for a reason, but I agree from the Cavs fan standpoint, like play your guys, because here's the other thing. You get a week off, right? You get a week off before you have to play. The earliest you're going to play is next Saturday, and you could have won that game and potentially moved up and gotten the 3 seed, and obviously, which avoids, you know, Boston in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just didn't break for him the right way. I think both things can be true, though. I think it can be embarrassing what happened yesterday, and fans have a right to be mad. And I also think it was the right decision for the Cavs to make, because I don't think they want to play the 76ers or even the Miami Heat, whichever it ends up being.
Right. Yeah, no, I get it. My problem with teams who rest today, who are guaranteed to be in the top six, like the Cavs were, is that now, if you lose game one, we're going to be looking back saying, oh, you gave your guys like 10 days off. Like, what's the deal? Why'd you have so much time off from basketball? Because it's hard to replicate this over this week. And you know, NBA teams these days, I highly doubt JB Bickerstaff's organizing like a hard, you know, 5-on-5 scrimmage where they're going all out. And they're going to be rusty come Saturday or Sunday when they play game one.
We kicked around earlier today if the NBA should let teams choose their own matchups based off of the seedings.
Yeah. I always think this is hilarious. I mean, that would just add so much more fuel to the fire if you did that. I don't know. I don't love the idea, but at the same time, I kind of do love the idea from the standpoint of like what we do in the media, how much that would add to.
Yeah, it'd be so much fun.
Yeah, it'd be great for us. It wouldn't be good for the teams.
And that's how I always operate, though. I'm like, what's fun for me? How do I make this the most fun for me? And that's. But I also think it addresses, I mean, listen, the NBA, as you know, Jared, they put a lot into yesterday. They wiped out the Saturday slate completely.
Yep.
They've driven the idea that Sunday during the day is NBA time and it's appointment NBA watching and you need to be there. And they made this big what do you do about it? And then we get there. And I give credit to fans. Fans in Milwaukee, fans in Cleveland, fans in New York, we all wiped our slates clean. We chose to watch that instead of the Masters, and then you didn't get rewarded for what you were watching yesterday.
No, I mean, listen, like I said, I was doing the whip around show, so I was going live to all 15 games, and it was – the scores were atrocious yesterday. It was awful how many 40- and 50-point games we had yesterday. It was a disappointment. There's no question.
Jared Greenberg joining us here, NBA on TNT and NBA TV. All right, let's get into this series because a lot of Cavs fans right now, we remember what happened in the regular season against the Magic. And the Magic, they're much bigger than I think a lot of people recognize, and that's not a good thing for the Cavs. And ultimately, they're just a sneaky good team. How do they match up against this Cavs team?
Yeah, I think like top-line talent, you're talking more probably, you know, if you do a draft, you'd probably take more of the guys on the Cavs first. But the depth that Orlando has is quite impressive. And defensively, I think they finished the year third in the NBA in defensive efficiency. They've got some guys, particularly this time of the year, when, you know, not only the intensity picks up, but the height, the attention to detail picks up, and the fact that you have at least, you know, 48 hours between games to really lock in, I think you're going to be surprised how good defensively they are. It starts with Jalen Suggs, who's probably going to make an all-defensive team this year. And then you got a guy in Jonathan Isaac who's not going to qualify for postseason awards because he didn't play enough, but he came on strong at the end of the year. I've been saying this for about 4 years about Jonathan Isaac. The problem is he always gets hurt. I think pound for pound, he is the best defensive player in the NBA. Like, if he were to ever decide to play 65 games in a year, we'd be saying, this dude is the best defensive player in the NBA over the likes of Gobert. You know, he's right up there in my mind with Wemby, with what he's able to do. So I think, and then obviously with them, you know, Banchero and Franz Wagner are two elite scorers in this league, and I think the Cavs are going to have trouble with them.
If they, well, I agree with you, by the way, that they're going to have some trouble with the Magic. If they do happen to get by the Magic, well, I don't want to jump the gun here, but, like, is it all but a certainty that they'll get knocked out by Boston? I mean, they have any chance?
Yeah. No chance.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
I mean, we kind of feel that way, too, but, I mean, I was hoping you'd say something different.
No. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything for you guys. Sorry. You told me how nice it is there in Cleveland. You know,
so if it makes you feel better, we asked Calabrini that a couple weeks ago, and he was like, well, if I'm being nice, maybe they get one game, but I don't really feel like being nice right now. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't even feel like one game is a thing. And to me, I'm not even taking shots at Cleveland. So, I mean, I'd love to take shots at you guys because I love to do that. It's fun for me. but this is more, you know, and this is what happens this time of the year, particularly when everybody wants you to make predictions or, you know, just have an opinion on things. This is not about your team. This is about the other team. Boston's so good. If Boston doesn't win an NBA championship, like, the Northeast is going to – the New England area is going to crumble. Like, they have to win. This is their year. If they don't win one, maybe they're cursed and they're never going to win one ever again.
Yeah, what happens if they don't win? Do they have to break it up? What do they do?
I see the problem with that is that they're still so freaking young, which is crazy because we feel like we've been talking about them for 15 years with this group. But no, I mean, listen, they're going to have to pay Tatum here, which is going to be unbelievable. They've already paid Jaylen Brown. They've committed to Jrue Holiday, you know, and they've got these two other pieces and Derek White, who in my mind was an all-star this year. He was the biggest snub. Sorry, my kid hates Cleveland, so he's just going nuts right now. I just think they're built for the long haul, and like, that's the weird part here is that I say like the New England area is going to crumble if they don't win it this year. But the crazy part is they're still in good place. They're still in a great place for next year and beyond to be the best team in basketball.
All right, so now do the Cavs. What happens to the Cavs if they don't win?
Yeah, I think there needs to be some serious discussions here. And listen, you guys know this. I'm sure you've had tons of these conversations already. It's going to start and end. The conversation is going to start and end with Donovan Mitchell. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, he's due a major extension this summer, right?
Correct.
And it's kind of like the Giannis situation from a year ago. The minute he hesitates or does not put pen to paper this summer, he has to be traded. Has to. Because you cannot risk him walking next summer. So, and the rumors are going to fly. It's going to be insane. And here's the thing. Listen, I personally love Donovan Mitchell as a human being. So I'm not trying to, I'm saying that not to sugarcoat it. I think he's an absolute asset to your community, to your basketball team. But if the Cavaliers lose, let's just say losing to the Celtics is going to be acceptable. If they lose to the Magic, what's going to happen immediately from the national standpoint is they're going to bring up all of these comparisons of, this dude has unbelievable regular seasons all the time. And go back to the Jazz years when he had those great regular seasons, and his Jazz teams always underperformed in the postseason. And that's going to be carried with him. And I think it's probably going to be fair for you guys to say, are we going to invest in him to be the best player on our team when we've got a couple of other guys that we really could build around those guys and make them our core for a while and maybe get some good assets in return for Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, Jared, I think it's an interesting angle you bring up. I think the idea that Cavs fans always lived with was that it was going to be Donovan Mitchell as the number one. And as you said, maybe Donovan Mitchell isn't the number one on an NBA title team or a contender, but the idea Cavs fans always lived with was that Evan Mobley one day was going to be better than Donovan.
Right.
And so then the two of them... Right. Yeah, and it just didn't materialize the way that we thought it would as of right now.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Right. There's no question. I'm not sure if I was on with you guys or another show on your station last year when you asked me who was more important to the success of the Cavs in the playoffs, Darius Garland or Evan Mobley. And, you know, I just don't know. Listen, we want to write the final chapter on these guys so early. Listen, there are some guys like Victor Wembanyama who are freaks of nature who come in and make an impact right away. And we know, we can guarantee you could go to Vegas right now and, you know, bet your mortgage that Wembanyama is going to be in contention for most valuable player for years to come. I don't know that Evan Mobley ever will be that, but he's certainly going to be a really good player in this league, and maybe he just takes a little longer to develop. And the fact of the matter is, not only has he had a couple of injuries that have set him back, but a lot of times in NBA franchises, when you have a guy who's kind of buried in the spotlight and not getting maybe the touches or the attention from the coaching staff because of these other two superstars, it takes even longer to develop. And I just wonder if the Cavs were to commit to Mobley and Garland as their 1-2 punch with, by the way, let's not forget about Jared Allen. Like he's like, you know, should have been an all-star this year. Guy should get obviously all NBA defense accolades this year. So like, There's enough talent on this team. I just think it has to be constructed in a way that you're building around something for your future, not just collecting really good players for the time being.
Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT, NBA TV, joining us here at 92.3 The Fan. All right, so let's say it doesn't go well, or let's say you even win the Orlando series, and then you face doom against Boston, and it is what it is. How do they shake up the snow globe there? Like, what do they do that's going to be different? Is that getting rid of, like, who's untouchable, who is touchable in your eyes?
In my mind, in my mind, if I were starting the team without any obviously information with like the salary cap right now and, mm-hmm. and knowing what's out there, but I mean, in my mind, my core cornerstone to this team, I think you could build a really good contender around Darius Garland and Jared Allen, and I'd move on from there, right? Like if Donovan Mitchell is saying the right things but is not doing them in terms of putting pen to paper to be here for a long time, I say, fine, let's move on. There are teams. I could tell you that I know that Houston is going to be incredibly interested in a guy like Donovan Mitchell. I would have to imagine the Knicks, as we heard for years, and Donovan Mitchell returning home to where he grew up, would be interested. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe a team like the Pelicans or others. I'm just kind of, you know, putting it out there. Mm-hmm. But there are teams that are going to have draft capital and actual assets to give up for Donovan Mitchell. I would do that immediately because I just don't see this team as currently constituted being much better than they are right now. I thought that they could be this year. I thought that this would be the year. And listen, all the injuries are one thing, but it's how this team played better without certain guys throughout the year is what's really concerning to me. Like they were at their best when they were healthy, which to me was the weirdest part of the Cavs season.
Yeah.
When Mitchell was gone for a while, Garland was a superstar. When Garland was gone, Mitchell raised the bar. So to me, it's just, you know who they are at this point. I'd want to move on and kind of get some really good young assets, get some draft capital, and let's move forward with Garland and Allen.
What happens to J.B. Bickerstaff?
I'm a J.B. fan. And truth be told, to be perfectly transparent, I have not been around the Cavs this year. I didn't have any Cavs games on TNT this year, so I didn't get that necessary intel that I've gotten in past years. But the feeling I've gotten in the past, and who knows if this is updated, but like players love him, people around the Cavs love him, great guy, and his ability to coach this team up, particularly on the defensive end, I think is really good. I would stick with him. I just don't see a reason to move on from him. I don't know that you're going to do much better than him right at this point.
Mike Budenholzer?
Yeah, so people keep on saying that, right? And that name came up. That name keeps coming up in Brooklyn. And I got to say, like, if I'm Bud, who, by the way, I've heard, I don't know if you guys remember, like, just what Mike Budenholzer looked at the end of his what he looked like at the end of his tenure in Milwaukee. He looked like a president who just served two terms, right? Yeah. Like, you know how you just see how they age over the course of time? I've heard Mike Budenholzer looks like 10 years younger, refreshed, lost a ton of weight, is just feeling good about life. If I'm Mike Budenholzer, right, what I'm doing right now is sitting back watching. Brooklyn's going to come calling. Whoever, there's going to be a few other coaching changes that happen this summer, I can promise you. I sit back and I say, Greg Popovich, when you are done, I'm your guy. When you decide to hang it up, I'm coming in and I'm coaching Victor Wembanyama for the next 20 years. That's what I'm doing. I'm not taking another job until Greg Popovich says, I'm going to stay around for another 10 years.
Let's stay big picture here for a second. We don't touch on Kobe Altman often around these parts. Yeah. Has Kobe done enough then to keep his job? And we're at that time where we start questioning these things.
You know, it's easy to talk in hindsight. I loved what they did in the offseason, right? Like, I thought George Niang, Max Strus, and I thought those guys actually played really well for the Cavs. And what's becoming increasingly more difficult in today's NBA, when you have top-end talent, which you need to win, right? This is like a real big catch-22. You need the top-end talent to win. But once you get that top-end talent and commit to them financially, you are really hamstrung in terms of what you can do around the edges. I think the Cavs have a nice players around the edges. I think they're glue guys, they're extras, they're others, whatever you want to call them, are really complementary. The question is, does it fit Mitchell and Garland? You know, to me, like, I don't know. I think Kobe Altman made the moves he had to make in the present time. I think now it's time to reconcile and say, all right, didn't work with that. Let's see what we could get out of it, you know, moving forward.
Jared Greenberg, fantastic insight as always. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, and we'll catch up with you later. Thank you, Jared.
You got it, guys.
All right, good stuff right there from Jared Greenberg on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.